Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Irish traditional and folk music is in a remarkably strong place right now, reaching new audiences, producing a new generation of exceptional young musicians, and enjoying fresh energy both at home and abroad. From sold-out festivals to bold new collaborations, trad is proving itself not just enduring, but constantly evolving. To take the temperature of the Irish folk and trad scene right now, I'm delighted to welcome four people, musicians, who've helped shape the sound in very different ways. I'm delighted to be joined by Mike Hanrahan. He's of Stockton's Wing. He's an old friend of the show and of mine indeed. Donal O'Connor joins us from the Belfast Tradfest. Russell Snuddig of Keela is also here. And Adele Fox, an award-winning concertina player and documentary producer, also joins us. So we've a lively bunch. We might, I see a few musical instruments about the place. So there could be some spontaneous chiol here. So stand by for that. But Mike, we might start with you. Your own journey is well known, but give us a bit your thoughts about traditional and folk music back in the day. If we talk about, you know, the late 70s, the early 80s versus maybe where you see it now, as a veteran of the business.
Thanks, Bob. I think that our music is really healthy. I love what's happening at the moment. I listen to all the new bands. I've always enjoyed Irish music and folk music and trad music. I was reared in a trad house, so I know the tunes inside out. But I do think that the scene goes through waves all the time. I mean, we were very lucky and blessed to jump on a wave in 1980-82 that brought us an awful lot of success. And we were lucky to have radio stations playing our music. Particularly 2FM jumped on board. So we got our music to the people. The current wave is completely different because the radio is not there available.
Yeah, so it's now, the radio has probably been replaced by social media.
Oh, social media.
In terms of where you actually need to be.
And fair play to these guys. They're actually taking on the challenge.
Yeah.
And they're having huge success. And they're creating beautiful original music and keeping the trad alive as well. I love it.
We've lots to talk about, but just before we bring in the other guests, you said it's still difficult for young artists to break through. You know, we won't even go there around government supports and all that. But it's one of those businesses that you probably have to be a bit of a multitasker. In other words, you might have to do something else that carries you through on your love of music. Until you get to a place where it can be sustainable.
Yeah, I think that's what we all do and we still do, and that's the beauty of it, because what at the heart of it is that we believe in our music and we want to get it out there. So if somebody said to you, this is going to be a great career move for you, and that's this is your model, you'd be told by most business people you're crazy, but that's not what drives us.
Absolutely. Russell Snuddig also joins us. Russell, you're very welcome. And again, your own band, Keela, wonderful band. How did you get into all this business? Give us your journey.
Well, we were in school.
Yeah.
Playing music was a way to get off classes. We started off in school, and then once we added the Odlin Brothers in 87, we called ourselves Keela, and it's been ongoing since. And Stockton's Wing were one of the big ones. We used to do covers of theirs. We used to do covers of Moving Hearts, covers of Batty Band, you know. And so there was we had a big mix of stuff. How we started, and, you know, the first actual paid gig that we decided, right, we'll just go out and see who turns up. We got three people upstairs in the Bagot.
Well, you've said that, you know, that if there were no imagination, there'd be no tradition.
Yeah.
So in experimentation, and I think you've said yourself that maybe the industry didn't know where to put you guys, because you were coming at it very differently.
Although we weren't. It's just we were singing in Irish as well, and we started bringing in you know, we started bringing in percussion in a way, and Ronan was writing songs, or was writing poetry, and decided to add a bower, his Baron beats to the poetry, because he just thought the poetry was a bit heavy. So he thought if you put a beat to it, it might lighten it up a bit. So, and he was writing in Irish, and Colin was writing songs as Gaelic as well. So that probably changed, but we were, you know, we had the electric guitar, the Horse Lips and Mushroom and Spud had already done that. I mean, the Moving Hearts had already done that, but it was, there was still this idea that Irish music can only be acoustic.
Yeah.
And even if you want to get even more Calvinistic about it, it was only one person playing it. And that's a stylistic choice. It's, some of it's lovely. Some of it's amazing. So I just saw that in a more kind of, yeah.
Okay.
So you write your own tunes. We're writing our own tunes. You've just, if you've got imagination, go for it, because, you know,
good.
That's where the tradition comes from.
Okay, we have a couple of other guests just to widen out the discussion a little bit. Adele Fox is also with us. How are you, Adele?
I'm great, Bobby. How are you?
Now, you're from that wonderful town of Ennistymon, steeped in musical tradition. You're an award-winning concertina player. And you're also a documentary and producer. You talk about learning concertina from Noel Hill. He's mentioned in that famous Christy Moore song. Tell us a little bit about your entry into the I won't call it the business, but the tradition.
Well, first of all, I'm going to have to correct you.
No,
I'm from Milltown Malvey. Milltown Malvey.
Did I say
Ennistymon?
Don't tell me I got my Clare Towns mixed up. Oh, my God.
I went to school in Ennistymon for a while, so you're not a million miles
I hang
away
my head in shame.
yeah, so I suppose I was really fortunate to be born in a place where the tradition was so rich in its own way. Almost, it was, I suppose, a microcosm of music in many ways, in that it was all around me growing up. You know, it wasn't necessarily that there were hordes of young people taking it up like there are today, but there were, in every household there was people who played music, set, danced, sang. So I kind of was exposed to it very naturally from a very young age. While there was music on my mum's side of the family, like, it wasn't, you know, my parents weren't like avid musicians or anything, but they just socialized in the scene and were friends with a lot of musicians and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I went on then, I learned how to play the concertina from six with Noel Hill, and went and studied music in University of Limerick, and then music therapy and all the rest of it. So like, I actually I kind of grew up thinking that every place was like Milltown Malbay when I was younger, that there was music all the time all around us. But
you've said as well, Adele, you when you were growing up, that the music was often dismissed as diddly eye music, which I think is a rather offensive term, given that, you know, that it wasn't maybe cool enough or with it enough. How did you fight back against that?
Well, it's more that time has moved on. While there were bands like Stockton's Wing and Keela and all these other bands were making waves for many years out there, I think when it goes, you know, just to reference, I suppose what Rossa was referring to there, that's kind of idea of playing solo or duet without, you know, a stripped back approach to traditional music, might not have been as regarded over the years in the mainstream as it might be a little bit more today. So I suppose that term, we all wince when we hear it, diddly eye. It's quite reductive and it's quite demeaning in lots of ways to an art form that we value so much.
Absolutely.
Ourselves,
well, well,
as four people chatting today, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well said. Stay with us, Adele. Donal O'Connor, he's a traditional musician, he's co-founder and artistic director of the Belfast Tradfest. He joins us as well. Donal, you're from five generations of fiddle players.
That's right, Bobby. Yeah, great to be on with yourself and the guys here. Yeah, I was fortunate to grow up in a house where music was passed on from generation to generation. My father is a full-time professional traditional fiddle player, and my grandmother taught us the fiddle, and there were many, many families like that around the country. But I think it's slightly different today in that there are more and more people coming to the music who don't have a familial background in the music, and we're witnessing a huge resurgence and a revival, I think, somewhat like maybe the revival that happened in the 70s, in which Stockton's Wing came out of maybe the back end of that. And I think it's driven by things, maybe the fact that the music is very closely connected to identity. And I think the fact we've come through a decade of centenaries, we've come through Brexit, and all of that has focused the Irish mind on its own native arts in a way that we would have previously sort of looked outside of Ireland for our cultural references very much. But I think this generation are really looking inwards, and it's closely connected to the language. There's a revival in the language in the urban centres. And the music is traditional music, and the folk music is connected to all of that. So it's a very healthy time to be.
Yeah.
To
so
be,
that, when you say that about the resurgence in people wanting to speak and learn Irish and in a different way, maybe from, I think part of the problem or issue with the traditional way of people coming into Irish was maybe it was a little bit force fed. Rossa, would that be fair to say that? There seems to be a kind of a new warmth around the Irish language.
There's a great, great new warmth, and there are so many people taking it up. It seems like suddenly the cloud of kind of negativity has moved, or in soil terms, that soil has to be at above 7. Is it above minus 7 in order for things to grow? And suddenly the soil is now ripe for the language to grow again.
Yeah.
I just hope it continues, and that fluency that we that my joy would be if the whole country could speak its own language and English in the way the Dutch and the Germans and the Finns and the Croatians all have their own language that they speak at home.
That you just
they have
like
their international language.
You can dip in and out, so you can talk whatever suits the situation. Whatever you're comfortable with.
The English only have one language. None of they got rid of modern languages out of their curriculum. So But I'm amazed and absolutely thrilled that this resurgence is happening from the kids.
Yeah, great. Mike, back to you. And when you talk about, you're an admirer, and as I know, we joked about you being a veteran, but you keep an eye on current trends. You watch some of the younger bands coming through now. Talk to me about who's out there doing good stuff. Who are the ones we need to watch?
But we don't need to watch Lancome anymore, because they're there. And they're,
aren't they just?
And they're creating. I mean, the Fake album for me was one of the finest Irish recordings I've ever come across. And I lived the album for months. I think the new, there's Madra Salak are making waves now. And I saw them perform during Tradfest. And I was really taken by their approach, their simple approach in a way to folk songs, breaking it down. But then they had their own songs that they were writing, and I'm all for us writing our own story. So I like what they're doing. And then there's young writers like, there's a whole host of singer-songwriters coming up. Emma Langford in Limerick is one of my favourites. And she writes some of the songs in the folk tradition. And she's got a great voice and a great lot of things to say. So I think that it's very healthy. But also, I should say, all the rest of us are still at it. So Kayla are still gigging. The Wing do the odd few gigs.
That's it. And isn't that great?
Yeah.
Donal, can I ask you about the importance of festivals in terms of being, I suppose, a place where people can go, where musicians can earn money, where things happen? There's a lot of festivals around now. And where does traditional music fit in terms of, available options to bands, audiences wanting to come? Tell us about Tradfest, if you would.
Well, I think it's the scene in terms of festivals has never been healthier. There are so many amazing opportunities for emerging artists to showcase and share the stages with the legends, with the Mike Hanahans and the Usnuddies. And when we established Belfast Tradfest in 2017, we looked around, we saw that there was no summer school of traditional music in the north of Ireland. There are many brilliant examples for where Adele's from the Willie Clancy Summer School in Milltown Malby and others. So we established a summer school to provide a space where we could create the musicians of the future, create the audiences of the future. And from that, a festival has grown, and it's a very much a grassroots movement. And I suppose we have, additional things to take into account in the north. We're in a post-conflict society. like everything else, traditional music became polarized during the Troubles. So we've worked very hard at bringing people together through traditional music from all backgrounds, and we celebrate the fiddle, the flute, the pipe and the drum. And it's a festival like Tradfest serves a very important social function. It brings people together. It brings the master musicians to Belfast for a period where the emerging artists can absorb, can be influenced by, can learn. And one of the things we do as part of our programming is we pair young musicians with legends on our session trail. And we have 120 sessions in 20 pubs around the city. So young musicians will sit in with someone like Mary Bergen, the world's greatest tin whistle player, arguably, with fiddlers like Kevin Burke or Desi Donnelly or Breeze Harper, and not just learn the music, but see how these people carry themselves in a social situation, okay. See how they engage with the audience and all of that. So it's good, a man. Wonderful opportunity to bring people together.
Now, I'm going to actually call on a bit of song shortly, but before I do that, I wanted to let Adele Fox come back in. Adele, what's your take then on, as somebody who's doing documentaries and looking at, I suppose, lots of different projects through music and through your own musical background, where do you see that? Where do you see the sector going?
Well, I suppose if you're referencing, I suppose, the sector of traditional music and performance, I suppose the work that I do is something that I feel sits beside it and brings the stories of the characters and the musicians to a wider audience. And there is a real appeal for that. Like, people really love to get to know who these musicians are and what they're all about. And I think one of the most interesting parts of the tradition as well is that it's not just about how skilled a musician is or, you know, the size or scale of their repertoire or the compositions they've written. It's more than that. It's about who they are, where they come from, who they're people are, what their environment is like. And it's just really nice, I suppose, as a documentary maker who has such a passion for traditional music, to be able to showcase that. And it really resonates with people as well. Like, you know, they really like to see artists in their home environment and see what inspires them and what kind of gets the music out of them, so to speak. So I suppose, like, as an industry, it's difficult because it's essentially it's a traditional music, it's a folk music. So, like, you know, we're very fortunate that it is a very living tradition. You know, it's always continuously evolving and continuously changing, and it has to do so. I think that's wonderful.
Okay.
I think it's a really wonderful
good
thing.
Job.
So yeah.
Ross, I see a bag full of flutes and tin whistles and all sorts of things there. Maybe just let us hear a little bit of sound, if you would. Now we're talking.
Okay.
Mike, how are you doing?
I think I'm okay.
Yeah?
Adele, are you going to join in?
Yeah.
There might be a couple of seconds.
Yeah. Total. Hug a fiddle, machen son.
Yep.
We've been rehearsing since last night.
So this is what's called an impromptu gig happening here on Down to Business, promoting Irish music, folk and trad. Mike, we'll let you take over from here.
Yeah, we'll do a blast of a song that got us up and running.
Feel like you're laying low, mountains seem no closer than before, and you wonder why. You know in your mind it just know that you hide, and the only way is living to survive. Makes you feel alive. See all the doors swing open, your life's unfolding before your very eyes. Such a strange affair. Walking around, come into the sound, forget your down, feel the air. Beautiful affair.
Take it a bit out.
Mm-hmm.
keep it going.
Well done, guys. That's absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Mike, it's just, you know, the way that you're able to kind of impromptu is such a wonderful thing that Ross and yourself can meet outside in that you can say, well, we'll do this and everybody just gets stuck in.
Yeah, but that was the hit.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that one.
But as well as that, that's how we all learn our music. I mean, the younger artists nowadays are so lucky to have, from because of Mihalo Sulevan, I suppose, he created this educational setup for young musicians to learn how the music works and comes together. We grew up in a family where it was all by ear.
Yeah.
And that's how we all learned to play it. So it's kind of natural to us.
Yeah. Last word to you, Rossa. The future's so bright, you've got to wear shades.
That's it, yeah. Huh? Hairstyles and attitudes. Oh, it really is good. And then what's amazing is so that the trad scene was, you know, boosted in the 90s, of course, because of the Riverdance. And the new, what's going on now is a load of these bands writing the ballads. That's a really recent addition to the trad scene from the 90s.
All right, well, stay doing it, guys. Thanks for joining us this morning. Really enjoyed the chat, and you're great ambassadors for Irish music. And thank you for that.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.